miss the other game.
Looks like a wash.
You should look at the board right there.
It disappeared.
Two of them. Yeah, you're right though. I only found one.
Celebrates.
Mine's busier, I guess, than us.
What's that?
I think mine was busier than us.
Why is that?
I think Easter's rough for the church world.
Well,
there's
yeah, that's
working
true.
It. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
But hopefully it was good for everybody.
I forget what church you affiliated with now.
I'm up the road from First. I'm at Covenant Press.
Covenant.
Yeah, right. Okay. Near Peachtree Battle.
Near what?
Peachtree Valley.
Okay.
Is the shopping center? I don't know. So,
yeah, I
just a stranger.
I don't know all the shopping centers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Elisa can't join us tonight. She's stuck in traffic, and I don't know where Davis is yet. But hope he's coming. Anyway, it's your first. Set of 10 for today, and overall, I mean, you guys did fine. The problem is that, you know, there are a lot of zeros, and I think this is going to be a pattern that these moms, for whatever reasons, just don't understand how to tell a story from wordless pictures.
I have a question, like, in the stories I was reading, you did, like, a health interview.
Yes.
And how soon after that did you do the story interview?
It varied. So the problem with the protocol is that the mother and the child were interviewed separately. So the caregiver got their interviews, including the health interview, right? And the child received the attachment story completion task, theory of mind tasks, and a lot of other tasks. And so typically the children would finish their interviews before the caregiver because, frankly, we gave them less to do because they're only 3 to 5 years old. So when they finished, they would go off running. And then when the caregiver finished, you know, where's Johnny? You know, or where's Habib? You know, like, he's nowhere to be found, or she's nowhere to be found. And so sometimes the kid was right, would make a beeline to the mom and be right there ready for the storytelling. At other times, we had to go on a search for the child to figure out what happened. These kids are very self-sufficient. They go off and they have no problems you know, walking out of sight of their caregivers from 3 to 5. I mean, I saw a 2-year-old using a machete to cut, different types of fruit. But he was not supervised, this kid. It's just a different culture. It's a completely different way of thinking of things. There's no ACS, you know, Administration for Children's Services. There's no police station. There's nothing like that. You know, and these kids have to fend for themselves. And they go walking around in the village with no parental supervision. I'm talking about 3 to 5 year olds. So it wasn't unusual for kids to be not found when we needed them. So depending upon whether the kid could be found or not, it might have taken a long period of time or a short period of time after the the caregiver's interview is completed.
Do you think that affected the storytelling exercise?
I hope not.
It seemed like there was I just seemed there was like some like talk of health following the health interview in the story sometimes. I didn't know if it bled over.
I don't know. I mean, it might have inspired them to tell a health-related story, but that shouldn't disqualify them from being able to tell a story that's on point, that's relevant to the content of this picture book. I can't say unequivocally, but I'm estimating that if we were to administer the same task after a health interview to caregivers here, they'd be able to tell a reasonably content-relevant story.
Right.
So I don't think that influenced what, you know, the outcomes that we're reading.
I wish I just didn't know. I was curious.
Yeah. Thank you. So, these are the findings from last week. You look up here. And as you can see, I mean, there are a lot of zeros, right? So that's actually a bad thing because it makes it harder to establish inter-rater reliability when the numbers are the same time after time after time. And it gets harder because there's an attenuated range of scores. So like, for example, you know, you're coding here from 0 to 2, essentially. There are no 3s and there are no 4s. So now the range is smaller, which means it's going to be harder to get reliable on this instrument. So, and that's why I calculated Pearson correlations. If I were doing this more formally, it'd take a little bit more time, but I would calculate inter-class correlations, which would take more time. I just wanted a ballpark figure, and so where is it? There they are. You know, the correlations are okay. They're not great, but I think it's because of this attenuated range. So, given the fact that not many caregivers are going to get 3s or 4s. We have to be really, really precise. We're only dealing with 3 anchor points, essentially. It's much harder to establish inter-rater reliability on a 3 anchor point scale than on a 5 anchor point scale. So we got to be really precise in our coding. So the places naturally where there were discrepancies were when some of us rated 2s and others of us rated 0s. So if you look at the very first transcript, so I rated a 2, but you've got a 0, 0, 0, and, you know, more 0s and some 2s. So a lot of disagreement on the first transcript. And I have an idea why, and we'll talk about it. And then down here, transcript number 7, everybody nailed that. Except for Carolina.
That was a mistake on my part.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it might be. Because that was so out of place.
Yeah. I had originally done all the coding and realized I was missing one, and then I went back, found the one I was missing, and I never fixed my 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that explains that. And then the last one here, we got a 2, a 1, a lot of zeros, and, you know, I coded it 0. There was a 1 here. So I think, given the fact that Carolina just made a mistake with number 7, I think we should talk about numbers 1 and 10. How's that sound? So, let me pull out my info here. Okay, so I'm going to read the story for the first transcript. All right? And I appreciate this is a little bit, this one I think was probably the hardest one. This is a rat. This is a rat. This rat doesn't like pussycats. It doesn't like what? Pussycats. The rat, oh, the cats, the rats, doesn't like the pussycats, okay. It gives birth to many baby rats. Now we're already off the rails. It gives birth to many babies. Whenever the cat sees them, it will end up eating them. Putting some emphasis on that. Eating them. It will end up eating the babies. That's why the rat doesn't like the pussycats. That's where my story ends. Okay, thank you. So, from my point of view, I am expanding the definition of a lion, because the lion, let me see if that's the Davis. Hi, Davis. We're just,
sorry, I'm going back to you.
Okay, we're just talking about the first transcript. 0208101. And I will share my screen. Okay. So, what I'm looking at here is a pussycat. Now, a lion, we all know, belongs in the cat family. What?
Wow.
A lion is a cat. Did you know that? It's a big cat. It's considered a big cat. I wouldn't pet it, but it is considered a cat.
Wow.
Well, several of you agreed with me. Karen agreed. We actually had a conversation on the shuttle bus this week about it. Justin agreed. Who else agreed? Let's see. Don't leave me hanging out to dry, you guys. Carolina agreed. Davis agreed. So there's pretty wide-ranging agreement on this, but there's a significant, substantial number of you who didn't view that. I think if you had, then you would have also given another point for aggression, right? Because the pussycat wants to eat the babies, which is aggression. So I think rating this a 0 or a 2 hinges on whether you define a lion as a cat. And I do. I do define a lion as a cat. We got to give a little bit of leeway here for these caregivers. Everybody's going to get a 0. You want that? Wow, there's a lot of pushback here. So what do you think? Daniel, you're just staring a hole right through me. You look betrayed. Speak your mind.
I say we should change the coding system.
Okay, well, I'm willing to entertain that. How do you want to change it?
A lion-like animal.
A lion-like animal.
So my pushback against that is there was a story that mentioned a leopard. And I didn't count that as a lion because it's obviously a leopard. It's more specific.
Yes.
Whereas I think pussycat was a general.
Yes.
Before it got specific. That's why I.
Correct.
Yeah, but isn't like pussycat like a specific kind of cat, you know?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I guess also it's kind of like the interchangeable like rat and mouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. Like, I guess I just. A cat and then a lion in my head were just. I didn't even make the correlation that a cat is a broader category.
It's part of, it's actually considered a big cat. I mean, like, that's the name, big
yeah.
cat. Not like it's a huge cat, it's a big cat. Like, there are big cats,
yeah.
And then there are domestic.
Like, that's fair.
Cats.
Like, yeah, sure.
Like, a serval is a wild cat, but it's not considered a big cat.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think the largest non-big cat is a cheetah. And do you know that the cheetah is the largest cat that still purrs.
I know they
bigger purr. Cats don't purr. Like lions don't purr, tigers don't purr. Cheetahs purr, they're the biggest cat.
So is
you could be a cat and not purr. I never thought I'd be coming to a lab ever and stating that you don't have to be a cat to purr. That's a, it's a weird kind of statement to make it up in a research lab. But anyway, do people understand that? Is it, can we just make a rule? I don't think we need to change the coding system, do we? Maybe I can put it in the coding tips sheet. That reference to a cat would include a lion. Can we say that?
Yes.
All right. Same as a rat and a mouse. You know, I mean, do we really know whether it's a rat or a mouse in the book? I would say it's a mouse, because it's known as the lion and the mouse, that the tail is known as that, but it could be considered a rat, I suppose. I'm not a rodent expert. I haven't studied rodentology or anything like that.
Cat expert.
Huh?
You're a cat expert.
I'm more of a cat expert. Yeah, because I have one at home. So I think everybody would have given that a 2, given the idea that the lion is a form of a cat. So let's move on. Is there any other questions? Anything perturbing you or okay? So we go to number 10. Let's go to interview number 10. And so this is 1113091. The mother said that once upon a time there was a lion and a rat. Okay, already 1 point. I'm sorry, an elephant and a rat, and they were good friends. So, what did we say about that? So, remember we talked about spoiling?
Mm-hmm.
So, what did this caregiver do? She spoiled her response. Remember I went into that whole story about administering intelligence tests?
The Wechsler.
Right? And you can give a legitimate answer to a question on the Wechsler, but then if they change their mind, give you a different answer, you can spoil the 2-point response and end up getting a 0 or a 1. This is what this person does. So now we're talking about an elephant, which clearly doesn't, I mean, I think there are elephants in the background in the picture book. I mean, I'd have to pull it out of my office, but clearly, story is not about elephants. Alrighty. So, given that fact, there's no story between a lion and a mouse or a rat, and therefore it gets a 0. So, Esther, you gave it a 1 because you didn't catch the spoiling part.
Yeah, I was really over with that, and I thought it's like a clear entrapment and rescue, so I give the point for that.
Yeah, to get that, you have to first, we talked about this yet last week, but each essential element kind of builds on the previous one. So if it's not between a lion and a mouse, or a rat, or a cat and a rat, or a cat and a mouse, then you automatically, you don't get any more points. You're done. So I hear you. I mean, it's interesting. If she hadn't slipped and called it an elephant, you know, we'd be talking about maybe a 3 here, right? Or possibly a 4. I didn't read it that carefully the second and third time, but we'd be talking about higher scores. But because she spoils the response at the beginning, then it gets a 0. Does that make sense? All right. So, what other questions did you have about any of the interview items? Yeah.
Do you think that just because they didn't identify the animal, you know, the coding should be kind of like spoiled?
Say that again?
Because, like, the purpose of the story isn't to, like, show that you can identify what a... to, like, teach the children what a, like, a rat looks like or a lion looks like, you know what I mean? It's to tell, like, a bigger overall message. So it kind of, like, to me, it's like, I'm thinking, like, just because they didn't identify the animal, right, you know, should we really let that spoil the coding?
Also, to add to that, I was also thinking, girl, the same thing about the content relevancy and the deeper message and the meaning of the story. And so I was thinking, because it had like the traps, because it had like the rescue, and how like, oh, it was trying to kill or the mouse or whatever. So that's why I quoted it higher. And also just because it was the fact that she had mentioned the line at the beginning that like got me. But yeah, that's the conversation that I was having with Daniel earlier when we were talking about.
What
I was like, the content is there. It's just the animal. And then we were also thinking, like, what if they don't even know that they're animals? Or,
well, they live in Africa.
That's
I mean, they live in a, maybe, I was thinking, like, they live in a rural farmland, right? It's a very specific part of Africa. Right? So you can't, like, immediately assume, you know, like, like lions don't live in a farm.
No, they don't.
Yeah. So it's like, it's possible that their categorization of an animal like is kind of like low.
The first animals they learn are African animals.
Like, right? But
and actually, there are parks, you know, wildlife preserves in Uganda with elephants, lions, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went to them, so I know they're there. Now, I would doubt that any of them actually went to these wildlife parks. But the fact that these animals actually lived in the wild, I mean, on preserves, right, but in the wild, in their own country, leads me to think that they would be able to know them, you know.
Also, what if it was a transcription mistake? What if
somebody... It wasn't a
transcription.
Now, could it have been possibly a translator mistake? Possibly. Not a transcription mistake, but possibly a I thought it
Well, it can be, because in the beginning it says, this is a story about a lion and a mouse, and oh, wait, no, wait, never mind, it's between an elephant and a mouse. So
yeah.
It can't be.
I wonder
they got it right that time, so.
Because how do they know the whole story, but the only thing they don't know is the elephant?
Yeah, because you got to think about what the purpose of the story is, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not about identifying the animals, it's about the overall message. And that's what we're looking for.
I would argue for the word relevance. I don't know. Do you want to speak before
I... Well, yeah, kind of like, I don't know where you're going with this, but like, they did recognize that there was a lion on that page. That's relevant. Maybe they just chose not to use lion further because they don't want to tell a story about a scary lion and switch it out for an elephant instead because it's like a three-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a story between like an elephant and a rat instead.
The relevancy piece of this, though, is like, it's relevant to the intended original meaning of what the author created, right? So the characters are important in the relevance, like the species are important in the relevance of that story. So being in theology, so like if you don't have Jesus, it's not a Jesus story. It's because you put somebody else like Gandhi in there, it's a Gandhi story. Like the person, the character matters, I guess.
Well, let me extend that idea and make it more relevant to this particular story. So an elephant isn't going to express aggression toward a mouse. So if you don't have that set up from the beginning, the story doesn't really make sense because the lion shows mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The elephant's not going to show mercy because elephants are scared of mice in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Believe it or not. That's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
So the elephant has to show aggression toward the mouse and then change its mind and have mercy on the elephant, because that sets up the second half of the story where the mouse wants to show gratitude toward the mercy that the lion had shown. But if it's an elephant and it's not showing mercy to the mouse, then there's no reason for the mouse to show gratitude. There's nothing to show gratitude for. So the whole story gets, it unravels if you don't have an aggressive animal trying to attack a defenseless animal. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would tend to argue against that.
Okay.
I mean, but it's puzzling, right? How does this woman, not understand that's a lion, but there's certain elements of the story that she does get. Two men hunting for the elephant. Let's think lion. Men came, they laid their traps, they trapped the lion. Let's say that. When they trapped the lion, since it was a friend with the rat, then the elephant, how to tell his friend the rat, you know what, come on, let's kill me. That doesn't even make any sense. Let's kill me? Now again, could it be a translator issue, perhaps? Since they're friends, the rat had to deal with the measures to see that it had to kill the elephant. Why is the rat killing the elephant? There's no gratitude there. And that was the end of the mother's story. The rat rescued the elephant, but I thought the rat was going to kill the elephant. Although it was taken by the men on the car, though at last the rat rescued the elephant, and that was the end of the mother's story. So, is it, relevant, adjacent? Kind of. But there's just so much that's wrong with this story that I can't give it any credit. But there is some relevant adjacent items that make you think, oh, maybe she's getting it, right? In particular, the animal gets trapped and the rat rescues the animal. Okay, embedded within all this extraneous stuff, there are those two points, but like, let's kill me? the rat had to kill the elephant? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I just don't feel comfortable giving this story a rating above a zero. I don't feel comfortable with that. There's some cognitive slippage here going on that we shouldn't be getting credit for. Even though we need a normal distribution for this to work, I just don't feel comfortable giving this more than a zero. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What other questions do we have about any of the other transcriptions? Anything else come up? I mean, everybody else, all the other ones were great. But I just wonder if you have any lingering questions, like you were thinking, well, maybe this story should get a one, and you were, going back and forth, and you ultimately gave it a zero, but you were considering maybe a one. Nothing? All right. You guys think you can get a perfect distribution next week?
I'll try our best.
You try your best. Alright, I'm hoping. So this is the timetable. We can end early. This is the timetable I have. So Elisa is going to be sending out your transcripts either tonight or tomorrow. It's probably gonna be tomorrow because she's still on the highway from Boston to New York. You're going to turn in your ratings to me on Monday night, April 8th. We're going to meet next week and discuss your practice ratings. And then I'm hoping that everything's going to be great. We'll have very little to talk about. And then we'll be doing actual coding on the 17th and 24th. Now, the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to break you up into pairs. I mean, it would be just a waste of resources to have everybody off code, all the, you know, you have 10 coders on each story. We're not going to do that. That's a waste of resources. So we're going to pair people up. I don't think it's going to matter too much how I pair people up because this coding system is pretty easy. And so we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. We'll figure it out, right? We have, did I count right? 6 and 4 plus Davis. Is anyone missing?
Plus Alyssa?
She's not going to be coding. I would rather not code. Just, I got so much on my plate. But we'll figure it out. Maybe 1 week one person will sit out and another week somebody else will sit out. How's that? Anyway, let's say we have five teams of two. And there are 123 stories, presumably. So five teams of two. So 123 divided by 5 is 24.6. So if you do like 10 1 week and 10 the next week, I think we'll be done. Mm-hmm. Right? A little bit more than 10. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10 and 15 or 15 and 10 or something like that. You definitely won't be doing more than coding more than 15 in a week. Now, when finals week is coming up, what is an easier week for the Emory students? Is it the 17th or the 24th of April? Well, which one? So what I'll do is I'll give you the 15, either first or second, depending upon.
Finals start after.
Finals start after the 29th.
17th is easier.
17th is easier?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do 15 on the 17th and then 10 on the 24th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not
insane. All right. Yeah. And then we'll be done. And then I'll tell you. What would be the best date for a party? Let's talk about the really important stuff.
Yeah.
The 1st or the 8th, or even later than that?
Not later.
Before.
Not later.
Not later.
The 1st or the 8th of May?
Yeah.
The 8th.
The 8th is, that you vote for the 8th?
I vote for the 8th.
All right.
Right.
Yeah,
I have a final
meeting.
What's that?
I also have a
maybe what?
Maybe before, because people are leaving.
Right.
Oh yeah.
People are leaving.
Mm-hmm. We could join your party from China.
Well, when are you leaving? That's you got to tell me when you're leaving.
Where do you?
What is it? Like around.
Okay, so we're looking at the 1st?
First.
Mm-hmm. When's the last day of finals?
The 10th.
Nice or 10th,
yeah.
The 10th of May?
Yeah.
And you're leaving before May starts?
Yeah,
but
I'm having to have like early. What's that second?
Wow.
So
should we plan for May 1st?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Is it going to be during our lab time? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Let me just make a note of that. Well, given the timeline, then we really have to do well next week to make this work. So I guess. you'll be even more motivated
mm-hmm.
to do well. Because if you don't do well next week, then we have to extend the coding by 1 week, and that means that you'll be coding in China. All right, and who doesn't have my address? Should I give it to you and write it down, or I can email it to you. Do that.
You mentioned you're going to be gone next week. Is that still correct?
Yes. Yeah, because I had Jan Loves. Yes, so Dolores,
yes.
You're going to have to lead next week's meeting. Can you do it with Elisa?
Yeah, Elisa would do it. I'll help her.
You'll help Elisa?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping that it'll go well. All right? All right, I will see you next week. Thank you.
Are you going to send out the teams over email?
What's that?
Are you going to assign the teams over email?
Yeah.